Good morning, church family. It's a little cool outside this morning, wasn't it? It's a good reminder, though, that God is in control of this world, and as the seasons change, so does things around us, but we know that God is unchanging in all things. Thank you for being here with us this morning as we get a chance to worship together. If you happen to be a guest with us, we always appreciate it. If you could, take a moment to scan this QR code. It'll take you to our website and the connecting form there so that we can just keep in touch with you. We would love if this is a place that you could find to call home, but if not, and we can just be some friends in the community to you, we would love to do that as well. So if you could take a moment to scan that and to fill that out, please do so. We greatly appreciate that. We do want to make this announcement. Welcome to Kylie Duval. She is our newest member, and she was baptized last Sunday. So if you were here for that, you got to be a part of that. So welcome to Kylie. As always, yes, absolutely. As always, we have some great ways for you guys to stay connected throughout the week and your different coming and going. So we have our websites, our grahamstreetchurch.com, grahamstreetyouth.org, and our texansforchrist.org, as well as our Facebook page that you can go to for up-to-date information and other things that may be going on. Children's Church today for ages 3, 4, and 5, we'll dismiss for that a little bit right after communion, a little bit before we get to the sermon today. And when we get ready to have the children's offering is open for anybody, but Children's Church is going to be for ages 3, 4, and 5. And we do have the nursery that's available in the first door down the hallway on your right for those that are under the age of 3, if you need to make use of that. All right, it's a big week for us here. We get to be a part of our community Christmas dinner. It's a great thing that we've been able to do for many years. And even when things have to be changed up and it looks a little different, it is still a wonderful thing that we have to be a part of. So please come help us feed Stephenville on Wednesday if you can. 5 to 7:30 p.m. is when the main activity will be going on, but there will be activity going on basically from today through Wednesday. And if you are able and willing to help, please contact Lee Jones. Lee, if you'll wave your hand in case somebody doesn't know, he's back there in the red. He would love to have volunteers. Volunteers are always a greatly needed surplus for this event, and we thank you for your willingness to do that if you can. Even if you just come out for a little while to help serve some meals and get those prepped up, or if you want to stand in traffic with me and face the craziness of Stephenville drivers, that's fine. You're willing to stand out there and risk your life. I'll let you stand right there next to me. But it's a great chance that we have to reach out to this community. So if you can help us out this week, or especially on Wednesday, we would greatly appreciate that. All right, this has kind of become a ritual. We're getting to do this here, so let's give our Yellow Jackets a big round of applause. So I'm really hoping I get to do it at least once more, and so that's something that we are looking forward to. We should be so proud of those that we have here from Graham Street that are part of it, but also just proud as a community for all the players, the coaches, the staff that's been a part of that, for the parents and other fans that have been encouraging them. It's been an exciting thing for our community, and we look forward to this Friday and celebrations to come with that. So thank you for making this a fun year for us, boys. All right, this morning, you're stuck with me. David's out of town, so I'm going to get to share a little bit of God's word with you this morning. So as we get started today, I'm going to ask Andy, if you would, to come up as we today we're going to be focusing a lot on our youth and family ministries and our family as a whole, who we are here, and we're going to talk about the story that we have to share together. So Andy, if you would, open us up.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you most of all for your son, Jesus, and his birth. And as we focus this time of year on that and what all you were able to accomplish, we're so thankful. And I pray that we can teach our children and our grandchildren and those around us the true meaning of Christmas and the true meaning of just the powerful impact that we're able to accomplish through your son and through his birth. And just, Lord, just thank you so much for that. I pray that you be with us this morning, be with Wes as he talks to us about youth and family ministry and the impacts I'm sure on what he's doing within the church and how just how I think all of us can be involved and support our youth and our children's ministry and all the things that just the impact on the next generation. Continue to be with us this morning in worship. May we give our full hearts. We thank you for your son, Jesus. His name we pray. Amen.
Morning, church. Let's be standing as we begin in worship this morning together. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. You know the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Jesus Christ, he died for me, and he took away my sin. I will live with him for eternity. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, we'll overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. The swift eclipse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we are yet to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Please be seated. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King. sounds in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we, the redeemed, shall be strong in purpose and in unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
This next song will serve to prepare our minds and hearts for the Lord's Supper this morning.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. No one seen he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather gather soon, where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
If you did not pick up your Continental Communion when you came in, if you'll raise your hand, one of these two gentlemen will help you out before we pray. If you will you please bow with me? Father, we come before you now in this season where our world focuses on the birth of your Son Christ, and we are so grateful for that event, Lord. Lord, at this time we go back to the cross. When that Son was, he was willing to go there and hang on that cross for our sins. Lord, be with us now as we take this that we use to represent the body of Christ, his broken body. Help us to reflect on that, focus on that, Lord, and share that with others when the opportunity arises. In Christ's name. You would pray with me again. Father, again, we just continue to focus on that event that truly changed this world, Lord. We're mindful now of the blood that was shed, the blood that washes our sins away. That awesome sacrifice that was made on our behalf, Lord, and the whole world's behalf. Again, Lord, just ask you to help us be thankful for that, reflect on that. And we ask for continued forgiveness of those sins. In Christ's name.
Okay, it's that time for Children's Church, but before we do so, we will have our children's offering. So a reminder, Children's Church is for ages 3, 4, and 5, but any of our kiddos are more than welcome to come and make the children's offering, and that includes our big kiddos. One thing we haven't done very well over the last year and a half is, one, to say thank you very much for the ways that you guys have continued to give during the craziness that was COVID and that still is. But at the same time, we want you guys to know that if you haven't ever seen, there are those baskets that we have towards the back doors there, so that if you are able and willing to give, we would appreciate that. So at this time, we will invite our little ones to come up and to give.
Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord
and Master.
Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord
and Master.
Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord. who makes us happy when we're sad, loves us even when we're bad, who wants his presence and makes us glad, nobody but my Lord. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord
and Master.
Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord.
Who was it hung upon a tree, suffered shame for you and me? Who was it died to make us free? Nobody but my Lord.
Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord
and Master.
Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord
and Master.
Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord and Master.
All right, let's all be standing as we sing the song before Wes's sermon.
I am a sheep and the Lord is my shepherd, watching over my soul. My soul to keep guarding over me ever, watching wherever I go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter. And when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. And when the lion comes, he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. We are his children, and he is our Father, watching over our soul. Great is his love for his sons and his daughters, watching wherever we go. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter, and when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. And when the lion comes, he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. And when the winds blow, he is my shelter, and when I'm lost and alone, he rescues me. When the lion comes, he is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me.
Please be seated.
As I mentioned earlier, David is out of town, but we have to make sure we do something that's very important for him. It's David's birthday today, so I'm going to count to three. I just want you guys real loud to yell out happy birthday so that when he goes back to listen to this, he'll get to hear that. So one, two, three. There we go. So now he knows, that's how I'm going to check to see if he actually goes back to listen to it or not, if he says anything about that. So this morning, I want to start off, and I want to share a couple of stories about me, about my life. When I got to that age where I was preparing to head off to college and packing up the belongings that I had gathered and accumulated, getting ready to make that leap into being a college student, and my parents were gracious enough to travel with me to help unload all my stuff at the dorm. And as we get there to the dorm, I'm carrying stuff, my dad's carrying stuff, but my mom's not carrying anything because my mom is crying. Well, let me take that back. My mom is weeping as her baby boy is getting ready to head off to college. And as we're making these trips up and down the stairs, you know, my mom's traveling up and down the stairs with us, so more and more of the guys that I don't even know yet in the dorm are starting to see her, and so they kind of start to come over, and we got stuff unloaded really quick because people were seeing that, and finally one of the guys came over, and he's like, "Is your mom going to be okay?" And I was like, "She'll be fine." And I think he was like, "Man, this guy's heartless," and he's like, "Where are you from?" And I was like, "Across town." And my mom, that's just who she was. She was just one of those people. That was part of my story growing up, and that's how life at ACU began. And, you know, I think she was kind of like crying, and I'm thinking, I'm probably going to see you this afternoon or this evening for supper. So it was like, I don't know what she was so upset about, but that started me out with my time there at ACU. And when I began ACU going in, I had declared that I was going to be pre-med. I was going to be a doctor. I was going to be big time. And I got like two weeks into this first semester, and I started to think to myself, I was like, I don't like blood, I don't like needles, I don't like any of that kind of stuff. So I was like, maybe this is not a good idea. So within about 3 weeks, I had already changed my major. I became the infamous undeclared, and that was great because it's just kind of, and people ask, what are you going to do? And it's like, I don't know, it's undeclared at this moment. And then eventually, I came back around to this idea that I wanted to do youth and family ministry. And so I ended up going to ACU, was there for 4.5 years, because that's how real people do college. And I graduated with a youth and family ministry degree not too long after that. Nicole and I got married, and one of the first things I had told Nicole is, I will not work in a church. And I started to think, I don't know what I just did with 4.5 years of my life, with the degree that I now have, but I was dead set that I just needed to step away. I needed a break from what I was trying to do and what I had trained to do. And so Nicole finished up over the next couple of years at ACU, and I did my service to the world with retail and getting to do all the fun things that come with that. If you ever want some interesting stories, I can tell you about my years at a bookstore and working at a knockoff Build-A-Bear called Teddy Bear Connection. So great stories that I have from those places in my life. But to move that story along, when Nicole finished at ACU, we made a transition for her to continue her schooling. She was going to go to school in San Antonio to become a licensed vet tech. And so we started looking for places that we could live in San Antonio. And some of the places we were looking at is the commute to get to her school was about as far as this little town called Pleasanton. It's about 30 miles south of San Antonio. And I had some extended family that lived there. And we'd visited the church there before. So it was kind of like, well, we had some connections. That would be a good place for us to go. One of the big things at this moment in our life was that we had finally, as a couple, started to be involved with the church. For being a youth and family ministry major and having gone to church all my life, when Nicole and I got married, we had trouble making it to an 11 o'clock service. We just couldn't get ourselves up on a Sunday. And some of you are thinking, ooh, 11 o'clock service, that sounds nice. And we thought the same thing, but we would usually be walking in about 11:30 or 11:45. And it was a church that had two services. They also had an 8:15 service. And we finally just decided, you know what, well, we want to get involved with the class. So we had to get up a little bit earlier, and we got involved with the class, and we fell in love with being part of the church. So much so that we started to get up to go to an 8:15 service, and we had found that place, but then we moved. And when we ended up in Pleasanton, we said, you know what, if we don't find a way to get connected right away, we never will. So we moved there, and as we moved there, we were being introduced by everybody. Oh, here's the new young couple that's just moved into town. And then within a week's time, I had gone to the education deacon, and I said, is there a class that is available to be taught? And he said, yes, there is. It's the Wednesday night junior high class. And I thought, well, I wonder why that one's not taken. And so Nicole and I looked at each other and we said, we'll do it. And we just were going to that church. We were part of that church. And then some months down the road, they ended up offering me a position to work with that church and be part of the youth and family ministry there. Now, the thing is, that story has lots of different aspects of what's there, but there's this one little small aspect that makes a huge difference. That deacon that I went to say, hey, you know, is there anything that we can do? Probably the only reason I felt comfortable to even do that was because it was my cousin. And you guys may have heard me talk about a couple weeks ago that I had a cousin who passed away, and that's the cousin who passed away. And I never really made a connection in my life to say, if it hadn't been for my cousin Matt, or as everyone else knows him, is Dr. Mann, that maybe I would have just stepped away from ministry as a whole, and maybe Nicole and I would have just stepped away from church as a whole. And I look at that, and it's just one very small piece of a story, but it's a story that was meant to be continued. It wasn't something that it was meant to be cut off right there in that moment for us. God had other plans. In John chapter 14, in verse 12, I'll go back a little bit before this. In John chapter 14, this is during the time that Jesus is spending a final evening with his disciples. We'll go back to verse 9. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is in the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." And here, verse 12, he starts with, "Very truly I tell you." If you ever hear Jesus say, "Very truly I tell you," that's a you stop and you listen moment. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Greater things. I always thought, what's Jesus talking about? How are we supposed to one-up Jesus? How are we supposed to do something that's going to be greater than anything that Jesus had to offer? And I've done lots of study, and I've heard different people try to explain this. I found this one commentary that I really liked, and I want to share a couple of these thoughts with you. It talks about what Jesus is trying to say here when he says that we'll do greater things. The greater things, compared to what Jesus did in his humble human body, that Jesus' disciples will go on to do, quantitatively speaking, so the quantity of it, not the quality, include, they will have a worldwide ministry. If you think about it, Jesus never went very far from home. He was in one place where he got to share. They will see even greater numbers of people getting healed. If you think about that, we can go back and we can find those places where Jesus performed miracles and the things that he did. And we know that there's lots of accounts of things we don't know about, but that number was going to be amplified with the apostles. They will see many more come to faith. That's always one that never hit me very much. You know, I just assumed, you know, that, oh, well, everybody that Jesus was around, that they came to know him, they came to faith, but he got to see very small numbers in his lifetime truly come to know who he was, to truly accept him and to follow him. They will reach more people outside the Jewish community. Again, Jesus was kind of limited where he was. And then this is a huge part. They will write down the word of God guided by the Holy Spirit. That when Jesus talks about these greater things, he's not saying what I did was nothing. But he's saying, what you have the chance to do is so much greater because you will continue the work that I started. That he says in this moment that it's meant to be continued. One of the things I always love to do whenever I'm teaching is I like to look at definitions and what things truly mean. And I think the story that Jesus started was meant to be continued. But this idea of a story needs to be understood. If you look up, if you get your phones out, and if you were to Google story, you might see definitions like this. An account of incidents and events. Not too hard, pretty plain and simple. Just relaying some of the facts that are there. And the next definition actually goes on with that. A statement regarding the facts pertinent to a situation in question. And so I started to think about this and how Jesus would tell stories. Now, usually when we tell a story, if we're thinking of a make-believe story, it's going to start with once upon a time. And we talked about this in the youth class this morning, that if you hear that, your mind automatically goes to, well, this isn't real. And as far as I know, you can go back through Scripture and you don't find Jesus saying once upon a time, but you will find him telling these stories. That's an account of incidents and events, that it's a statement regarding the facts pertinent to a situation in question, that it's Jesus in action and it's Jesus while he's teaching. So for us, this picture that's up here, for the younger people that are in here, that's a TV. You may not realize that that's what they used to look like. That little knob that's there, you used to have to actually walk up to it and turn it to change it. Not that I'm that old, but I at least know what they are and how that works. And then if you notice around the picture of the TV, you guys remember the snow, the fuzz? That was actually kind of like a comforting thing because it was like it was the end of the day. A lot of you may remember that the end of the day, TV went off. It was done. Nobody was putting anything on air anymore. That was it. It was over. But one of the things that I can remember growing up, mostly because of a station called Nick at Night, was this idea of to be continued. That sometimes you would have to watch something and you would have to wait an entire week to see the next thing, because Netflix has totally destroyed that for us. Because what do we do now if we want to watch a show? What do? Binge watch. And look, see, that's not even the kids saying binge watch. That's the adults saying it. They know it. We binge watch something because if you start it, you got to finish it. You want to know. And I'll be honest, you know, Nicole, a lot of times she's like, oh, look at this series. And I was like, nope. Or she'll see something. She just likes the title. She likes the description. She's like, let's watch that. And I was like, nope, it's a series. I don't have time for it. I was like, I need a movie. I need 2 hours that I can sit down. It starts, it finishes, and I'm like, good story. That was it. As opposed to the weeks and weeks go by. Several years ago, while I was gone to camp, I was gone for the week, and Nicole was going to come out and visit at the time. And while I was gone, she decided to start watching a show. And she'll probably be embarrassed that I'm talking about it, but it's a show called Vampire Diaries. I don't know, there's probably some fans. Okay, there we go. And she started watching this, and she said when she started watching, she didn't realize that there were 8 seasons. But she sure didn't have any trouble getting through the first season and a half of the week I was gone at camp. And then when I got home, she was like, hey, do you want to watch a show with me? And I was like, sure. And we start watching Vampire Diaries, and I was like, what is this? By the end of season 3, I was like, I can't believe that he's not, you know, and so I was getting into all of this too. But we see this because now when an episode ends, it's a race to beat the clock when that little thing saying next episode starts and that little bar is going by and you're like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom before I go. We're trying to speed things up. There is no more to be continued. It's I have to know how this is going to end. The next episode just can't wait. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we get to hear something about the story of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. And I would dare to change just one word in that even to help you see the idea of what God is passing on at this point through commandments and decrees, that he says, this story that I give you today is to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. This story that God was starting was not meant to be stopped. We don't read through the entire Bible and at the end say, oh, that was really cool, that's it. On to something new. The Bible ends with to be continued. And that's where we come in. So today, David had asked me to make this focus on youth and family ministry. And I thought, you know what, I could really just focus in on certain aspects of things and who we are and different people. But to me, the story of God is youth and family ministry. The story of God is Graham Street. And that's who we are. That's what we should be. And we should be part of this story that's meant to be continued. In Luke chapter 6, there's a story that many of us have heard, but a lot of times we don't look at it from the perspective of certain characters. Usually we kind of put ourselves into the lead role. That's who the eyes that we get to see things through. But in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 6, on another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up, stand in front of everyone." So he got up and he stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And he looked around at them all. And in this moment, typically with the Pharisees, they usually had a plot, they had a plan. They were trying to trap Jesus in something that they felt like he was doing wrong. But they didn't have any plan set up today. It says they're just watching. You ever have those people that do that? They're just watching, waiting for somebody to do something wrong. They're just waiting for you to make that mistake so that they can call you out. And here the Pharisees are. They're ready to do that. They're watching. And Jesus does something that probably at that moment seemed very uncharacteristic of him. He may have embarrassed somebody. And we usually would say, well, Jesus would never embarrass somebody, but he calls somebody out. Because it says, Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he says to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and he stood there. Jesus asked, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?" And he looked around at them all, and then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Now the thing is, they probably didn't know that this man had a hurt hand, a shriveled, withered hand, because Jesus tells him to hold it out. And one of the sad things is, in this day and time, anybody that had a physical handicap was usually seen that they had done something wrong in the eyes of God, that they had sinned against God, and that it was a disgrace for them to be seen with that. And for this man to come in and for him to be there, he probably didn't even have his hand out to be seen. He very well may have had it hidden in his cloak, and he had come there all the time, and nobody knew. But Jesus, in this moment, he looks around, he knows what's being thought, and he calls out this man. Just as if I were to call out one of you today to stand up all of a sudden and you didn't know I'd call on you. I'm going to pick on you for a second. If I said, "Evan McElroy, stand up," and then, "Evan, I need you to stand up." "Go ahead, stand up." Evan's thinking, "I hate you, Wes, right now." Because that's what Jesus did. He just called out this man. He says, "You, stand up." And he's probably thinking, now all the eyes are on me. That Jesus took the attention off of himself, and now they're like, well, why is Jesus talking to this guy? And maybe there he is standing there with his hand hidden. And he's thinking, they don't know. They don't know what's wrong with me. I've kept it hidden all this time. They don't know. The Pharisees don't know. Maybe he was a Pharisee and he'd kept it hidden from the Pharisees. But what does Jesus say to do? He says, hold out that hand. Stretch out your arm. And that man had to believe enough in who Jesus was to hold his hand out. But here's what we don't think about. What does everyone see when he holds his hand out? A perfectly fine hand. But what does he know? That's not my hand. That's not the hand that I've had that's been shriveled, that's been withered, that's been hurt. And he starts to think, what if they don't believe me? What if I tell them, hey, you should have seen my hand before? But Jesus shares a moment because he wants this man to stand up and to not be somebody who has a problem, but to be seen as a man, as a person first. Having made sure that those around him, that we see the person first. If you think about all the different stories of the people that Jesus interacts with, this is just one story. You think about all the miracles that he performs. One of my favorite is, if you go to, I want to say it's Luke 5, I think, the man through being lowered down through the roof. He had friends that were taking him to Jesus, and they were taking him to Jesus. Why? We don't know. It just says Jesus is teaching and that they're taking him, and we always assume, well, obviously they're carrying him so that he can be healed. But when he's there and they've lowered him through the roof and Jesus looks at him, Jesus does not see a disabled man. He sees a sinner. He says, your sins are forgiven. And all his friends may have been thinking, no, tell him he can walk so we don't have to carry him home. But we always just assume that they brought him to be healed physically. But they had faith enough in Jesus to know what he could do, so maybe they brought him to heal him spiritually. And him getting to pick up that mat and walk away was kind of a bonus for that day. And you imagine for that man with the withered hand, and you imagine for that man that was lowered through the roof, that they get to continue the story of Jesus because of what he did for them. Even if people wouldn't believe it, they get to continue that story of who Jesus is. In Acts chapter 7 and 8, we get to hear the story of a guy named Saul who watches as a man is executed. And he stands there holding the coats of the men who are throwing rocks at him while he gives his approval. And God looks at that man and says, that's who I'm going to use. That's who's going to carry on my story. And it's kind of neat because Jesus gets to talk, even after he's gone back to heaven, he gets to talk to Saul and say, Saul, what are you doing? What are you doing? And as Saul is blinded on that road to Damascus, Jesus tells him, all right, now you're going to go on and you're going to meet a man named Ananias. Now imagine if you were Ananias. When you get that conversation from God. In Acts chapter 9, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision calling, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he replied. Jim, why don't you just turn this off? I'm going to go here so that I don't have to be here. Give me just a second. All right. The Lord spoke to him in vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. And very bold words come up here. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. He's authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. God says, go, for Saul is my story continued. He looked at him and said, who would nobody expect? Right when you get to the end of that season that you've been binge watching, and then all of a sudden there's that big twist that's there. It's like, hey, let's do that. Let's throw somebody like Saul into the mix here, and let's make him the chosen instrument of God that's going to step out there and he's going to start showing people who Jesus is. And imagine Ananias being told, this is the man. And Ananias could have said, I don't think so, God. But Ananias heard God, heard the story, and said, I'll do what you ask. If you think of all the stories, the ways that things are to be continued, there's a man named Nicodemus that we get to see three times in Scripture. The first time we see him in John chapter 3, he comes to Jesus. He's a Pharisee. He wants to talk to Jesus. He needs to figure out some things, but he can't go and talk to him in front of his friends and his co-workers and his family, so he has to go see Jesus at night. And as he goes to see Jesus, he starts to ask questions. What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be? And Jesus says, you should already know the answers. Look at the role, the position that you're in. You're the person other people should be coming to ask those questions, to get those answers. The story of Nicodemus has continued. We see him again in John chapter 7 when all of a sudden the Pharisees are making some decisions about what they're going to do to Jesus and how they're going to start accusing him of things and they're going to put him on trial. And Nicodemus kind of has that bold moment where he raises his hand and says, wait a second, you know, we have to let him defend himself first. And all those Pharisees start to look at him and say, what's your problem? Why are you against us all of a sudden? Why are you speaking up for this man? And Nicodemus gets to continue the work of Jesus, because the next time we see him is in John chapter 19. When he and a man named Joseph from Arimathea are taking the dead body of Jesus from the cross and preparing it for burial. And that Nicodemus, in his workings to help make this happen, is no longer doing things secretively. He doesn't care if his Pharisees see him. Joseph was afraid of things that might happen, but Nicodemus says, no, this is my Lord. And he's asked me to continue what he started. It's meant to be continued. It's meant to be lived on, not just by us, but by our children, by our children's children. When you look up that definition of a story, it doesn't just have those positive ones that are there, too. Sometimes a story can just be a fictional narrative, some of those once upon a times. It can even be a widely circulated rumor. And we as families have choices to make. That the story of Jesus can be truth in our families, or the story of Jesus can just be a fictional narrative. It can just be a rumor that we share in the good times or on Sunday mornings. When we look at these different definitions and we say, all right, well, is it truth? Is it fiction? All we know is it's to be continued, that it's left in our hands. I want to share another story that has to do with one of our own here at Graham Street. That I know is not something easy to talk about, but I want to share a little bit of a story about a great person who was here named Bruce Caraway. And now he was one of those that allowed the story of Jesus to be continued. Many of you know, I'm sitting back there at that desk where Jim's at a lot of times, and that was kind of a duty that I unintentionally inherited when Bruce was gone. And that I started doing that, and I started getting to work in those things. And when we actually got to the point of preparing for Bruce's memorial service, there were some things that we were trying to do and figure out that there was one person that knew the answers, and that was Bruce, and we didn't have him to ask. So I was trying to figure out, and Linda had been emailing people from our software company. We tried calling, but we didn't get phone calls back. And so finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this last-ditch effort and try the little chat feature that they put on those websites. And so I click, and I was just like, you know, hey, I have a question. And somebody comes in real quick, and they start talking to me. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is amazing. Maybe we'll get something done. And so I asked them, you know, if they could help us out with some things, and they were able to log into our system to see. And they're like, well, which program is it? You know, which service setup had it? And so I was like, it's the last one that's on there, and it says Bruce Caraway Memorial Service. And all of a sudden, the person types back to me, what happened to Bruce? I was kind of thinking, well, that's odd. And all of a sudden, he starts to say, oh, Bruce and I, we've talked a lot. And I was like, well, that doesn't say a lot for the software company that we're working with, I guess. But he and Bruce had several conversations. And he was just like, what happened to Bruce? And so we just, you know, David was standing right behind me, looking over my shoulder while we were doing this stuff. And we shared that little bit of information. And then he messages back and says, can I call you? Do you have your cell phone nearby? And I was like, sure. And he's like, I'll call you. I'll be calling you from my personal cell phone, not from work. And I was kind of like, okay. And sure enough, about 10 seconds later, he calls. And he just started talking to us, saying, you know, man, what an amazing man Bruce was. He was like, it wasn't an unpleasant phone call that I had with him. It wasn't an unpleasant conversation. And we had questions about stuff that we wanted to know, well, what's the answer going to be? And he was honest, and he's like, you know what? Some of those things we kind of say that we can do, but you can't do that. And he's like, I just want you guys to know, because I don't want it to be a struggle. And in that moment, it was kind of like, wow, Bruce was actually helping us out still in that moment, because he had allowed who he was to define him, and who he was a continuation of the story of Christ. So in the things that we get to do in life, things we get to do as families, the things we get to do as a church, we have opportunity to be interactive together. Today is what we usually call our Graham Street Family Connection Day. It's the second Sunday of the month that we get to do that. And it's, you know what, I understand December is busy beyond belief. But there's something that you can do that doesn't affect anything else, but at the same time it'll affect everything else that you do as a family. That you continue the story of Jesus and who you are. And moms and dads, that means actually having to have conversations. Moms and dads, that means actually having to live out the things that are so easy to just talk about, but maybe not actually do. To give up of yourself and to allow other people to gain. And that's all our family connection, that's what this Sunday is. It's just for you to understand we are a continuation of the story of Jesus. And the only way that we can do that is to do it intentionally. Because if we say that the story is going to be continued, that it's going to carry on with who we are, then we better carry on that story. Because God has left it to us to do so. I want to share some words from the great theologian Big Daddy Weave. If you happen to know Christian music, this is a song that's been out for a little while called My Story. And these are the lyrics. If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. And if I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. And if I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And those will be familiar lyrics to many of you. But that line, oh, to tell you my story, is to tell of him. And that's who we are as a family. Not just our individual families, but as Graham Street. When we tell people the story of who we are, it should be telling the story of Jesus. That just like Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, when he's writing to this church and he says, follow my footsteps, follow my direction as I follow the footsteps in the direction of Christ. He's saying, when you look at me, you shouldn't see Paul, you should see Jesus. When people look at us, they shouldn't see people, they shouldn't see the Graham Street Church, they should see Jesus. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. We're going to sing those words here in just a moment. They're part of a song called Blessed Assurance. And that blessed assurance is part of our story. That's why our story is to be continued, that it doesn't stop, that it carries on, that Jesus lives on today in us, through us, and with us. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. This morning, maybe your story has hit some rocky places, and maybe it's time that you say, let's get back on track. Maybe your story is just getting started, and your journey and story of faith are ready to take the next steps into commitment into Christ. If somehow this family, if somehow this church can help you in those steps forward in continuing your story, we want to do that for you. We've got great people here that are willing to listen, to serve, to reach out to you, because we're doing this together. We're walking this journey together. And we know that it's to be continued, but we get to do that together as well. Let's stand and sing.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. My story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. I want to thank y'all for being here this morning. We'll have one final song, and then we'll have a closing by one of our shepherds. Let's sing out.
You are beautiful beyond description,
too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Thank you, Taylor, for those songs, and thank you, Wes, for your lesson. Thank each of you for being here this morning. We're glad to see everybody with us this morning. I have a couple of announcements. I know y'all are all aware of the tornadoes that went through the Missouri, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Illinois Friday night and Saturday morning. We are going to take up a collection over the next couple of weeks, as well as basic needs is going to help us as well. We're going to take up a collection. If you're going to write a check, you can just write on there tornado relief, and we'll know that you want it sent there. So if you could and are willing, please do so. I was asked to announce that some of y'all know Johnny West. He's a local masonry contractor. He's been battling cancer for some time. Apparently the end is getting pretty near, so we were asked to pray for them this morning. I'd like to read from John 3:17, we normally focus on 16, but I want to look at verse 17 this morning. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The short answer there is so comforting, because we see that Jesus did come to save us. He wants each of us to live with him one day. And that's just a wonderful thought to me. If you would pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful. Thankful for all that you do. We're thankful for your Son and the sacrifice that was made. We're thankful that we don't get what we deserve. That you give us grace, that you give us mercy, and that you give us love. Help us to be your servants. Help us to be loving to one another. Help us to be a light in this dark world, so that others will come to know you and be able to spend eternity with you. May we be that example that we need to be this week. May we be a blessing in someone's life. Thank you for Jesus' blood and for that love. We ask all this through Christ. Amen. Have a great week.